Thanks, Paul. Hello, everyone. Nice to see you. Good to be here together, isn't it, to celebrate at harvest time. Well, as Paul said, we're going to think a bit more now, a bit deeper about harvest, especially, as it says on the screen, how harvest reminds us of God's generosity. That's what we're really going to focus on, how he's a God who loves to be generous with his gifts. And we're going to start off with a little harvest quiz, okay? So the quiz will remind us that much of our food comes from all around the world. The harvest that we enjoy, because there's so much kind of ability to transport food around the world, we enjoy food not just from England, but from all around the world. That reminds us that we're a church of all nations. And hopefully the quiz will remind us of the sheer variety of food that we enjoy that God gives us. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you a picture of a farmer harvesting his or her crop. And children, you've got to put your hand up and tell me if you can guess what crop it is, what food it is that's being harvested. You might need a little bit of help from the adults. And then afterwards, adults, I want you to see if you can tell me the country that produces the world's biggest crop of this thing that's on the picture. Okay? And just to get you kind of motivated, all right, I've just got a little treat if you answer the question right, whether you're a child or an adult. Okay? Some munchies, so I'm going to give them to Paul, and Paul's going to give them out and not eat them all. Right, so first of all, are you ready, boys and girls and adults? Okay, so this lady farmer is harvesting something. Boys and girls, what crop do you think that is? What crop do you think it is that she's harvesting? I think your hand was up first.
A tree.
Banana trees, no, no. What do you think? Good guess, it's not rice, okay? No, I'll give you a clue. It's something we Brits like to drink. Ooh. Tea, that's right, it's tea. Well done, Marion. Now, grown-ups, what country do you think is the world's biggest producer of tea? The world's biggest producer? No. No?
China
is correct, yep. By quite a margin, I think. Okay, good. Right, let's move on then. Okay, boys and girls, these aren't potatoes, and they're not sweet potatoes. What crop is this? Your hand was up first. Straight up. No. Did he say beans? No, it's not beans. We Brits like to put this in our tea sometimes. Okay. Right, I'll throw that open to an adult.
Oh, sugar beet.
Yeah, sugar beet. Yeah. And the what do you think is the world's biggest producer of sugar beet? What country? Anyone want to have a go? Not the UK, Paul, no. No. Not the USA, no. Russia, well done. So Russia is the biggest producer of sugar beet. Brazil is the biggest producer of sugar cane. We do get most of our sugar from cane rather than beet. Now this one, okay. What crop do you think this is? Pardon?
Rice?
Oh, cereal. No, no, it's not. It's a bit, yeah. Somebody did say it earlier on, I think. Wheat? No, no. Corn? No, no. Rice, correct. Yeah, because we often see pictures of rice being planted, don't we, in the kind of wet paddy. This is where it's been harvested. Biggest producer of rice, which country do you think, adults? China, again. Yeah, China produce a lot of food. Okay, let's move on. Now, this is a bit of a different... These are... farmers of the sea or of the river, aren't they? What do you think this is that they've caught in their nets? It's not fish. It's sort of like a bit of fish. I'm going to go... Well done. Shrimp. Yeah, yeah. Lots of shrimp in there. And who do you think, adults, are the biggest exporter of shrimp in the world. Who do you think? Japan, that kind of area of the world. It's not Japan. Thailand is correct, yes. I think these are some Thai farmers or fishermen, yeah. Right, what have we got next? Oh, boys and girls, this is another kind of crop.
Honey.
Honey, well done. The world's biggest producer of honey? Adults? Have a guess. What do you think? Russia, good guess, but no. I'll have to give it to you. China again. Yeah, wouldn't have thought it. No, because I won't be able to speak properly then.
Right, okay. Shall I have it for you?
Yeah, you can have mine. And now, what about this one? What about this one? Cocoa, well done. That we get chocolate from. Adults.
India
is not the world's biggest producer. Oh, Ghana is not, but you're getting closer. Ivory Coast over here, Paul. Well done. The Ivory Coast is the world's biggest producer of cocoa. And I think we're getting to the end now. Oh, there's a hand went straight up there. What do you think? Grapes, no. No, we often see these, but they don't look like that. Orange? No, I don't think so. Oh, there you go. Apples? No. This is quite a tricky one. I'll give you another clue. We Brits like to drink this. Coffee, yes. Because we often see the beans when they've been roasted, don't we? World's biggest producer of coffee. Any adult want to? Brazil, correct. Yeah, sorry, I'll come. Brazil. Right, last one, I think. Anyone know what this crop is? Potatoes, no. No. Someone. I'm going to go to the boys and girls first. You're not a boy or a girl. I'll come to you afterwards. No? Right. Peanuts, yes. Also known as groundnuts. World's biggest producer of peanuts. USA, no. Kenya, no. China, yes. You just have to say China for this quiz and you'll get it. Yeah. Okay, well done everyone. So just from that very short quiz with just a few countries around the world, we can see, can't we, that there are so many different types of food that we enjoy and so many different types of tasty food as well. Because food tastes good, isn't it? Boys and girls, can you tell me what your favourite food is? What's your favourite food?
Tomatoes.
Tomatoes. Excellent. Pizza. I thought you were going to say that, Gregory. I asked you yesterday. What about the back there? Favourite food. Is it blueberries? Do you like blueberries? Like in the picture? Marmite? Is that your favourite food? What's your favourite food then? Marmalade. I didn't catch the other one. One more. Ice cream. All right, well, boys and girls, I've brought with me my favourite food, which I'm going to talk about for a second. One of my favourite foods. I like roast beef and Yorkshire pudding, but I figured I couldn't easily bring that with me. This is one of my favourite foods, boys and girls. Who likes Snickers? Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to enjoying that afterwards. Yeah. Now, Snickers, okay. Let's think about a Snickers bar for a second. Right, now, three of my favourite ingredients in Snickers are peanuts, cocoa, and sugar. And I think that together they make a delicious tasting bar. But boys and girls, where does a Snickers bar come from? Let's think about that for a minute. What happens to make a Snickers bar? Well, we have to go back to the beginning, don't we? And we start off with seeds, all right? The farmer has to plant some cocoa seeds, you know, and some peanut seeds, and so on, some sugar beet or sugar cane seeds. And then they grow, and the farmer has to harvest them. And then the farmer will sell the produce to a factory. And a factory will put all these things together and put a wrap around it, and then we'll buy it in a shop and enjoy it, won't we? But let me ask you a question. Who made the seed in the first place? Like, where do seeds come from if we go back and back and back? Boys and girls, hands up. Who made the seeds in the first place?
I think he's...
I'm going to move you on. You think and come back to me. Anyone else? Boys and girls, who made seeds? God, yeah, so we read that in the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it. So God produced the first seed. God made cocoa seeds and peanut seeds and sugar beet seeds and so on. Now, but seeds can't grow without light. Did you know that, boys and girls? So who made light? In the first place, where does light come from? Yeah. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And the sun gives the light, doesn't it? Seeds won't grow without light. But they need rain as well. Who made the rain? It was God, wasn't it? Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 22. Do any of the worthless idols of the nations bring rain? Do the skies themselves send showers? No, it is you, Lord our God. God was the one who created the weather system, the clouds and everything that take the water from the earth and go up and then rain. It was God who made the rain. But who had the very good idea of getting cocoa and sugar and chocolate and some other things and peanuts and mixing them together? Well, actually, it was a man, a very creative man, called Frank Mars back in 1930. And he created the Snickers bar. But who was it that made humans to have clever, intelligent, creative ideas like that? Who made humans in the first place, Gregory? Yeah, you're getting the picture, aren't you? It was God who gave us our clever brains. Genesis 1:27, God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. We are a bit like God. In some ways, we're not as powerful as God, obviously. We don't know everything like God does. But we have creative brains, don't we? They think, oh, I could get some peanuts and some chocolate and some milk and add them together. That creativity and a whole load of other things, delicious foods that we're going to eat later on together, comes from God. God made us. So it's God that produces our food. We might think, oh, a Snickers bar, the shop makes it. But if we go back and back and back, it comes from God. And I'm going to put the Snickers bar behind their house. It's going to melt in my pocket, I think. Our God is a God who loves colour and joy and variety. Don't forget, our God is the God who made dolphins that just flip themselves out of the sea and do a backflip for fun. Our God is the God who made dogs who put their heads out of the windows of cars and let their tongues flap around like a joy-filled flag. That's the kind of God that we worship. His world is a pleasure-filled world. And he's generous in giving us so many good gifts which bring us pleasure. Food brings us pleasure, doesn't it? But so many other gifts do as well. Gifts like friends, laughter, drink, sport, art, moonlight, waves, rivers, endorphins, music. There are so many good things that we enjoy, aren't there? Harvest reminds us of how good God is, how generous he is, how he's like a kind father who created gifts that give us happiness and joy. Now, maybe you're thinking, hang on a moment, There are so many people in the world who are starving right now. But let me just remind you, there is enough food in the world to feed everyone. There is enough money in the world to transport that food to places that don't have food. But it's our problem, isn't it? Because one half of the world is so greedy that it chucks away tons and tons and tons of food each year, and the other half of the world starves. And we have a tendency of human beings, don't we, to spend money on things we don't actually really need, when we could give our money to people in need. And governments have this tendency to spend billions of dollars on bombs and guns, don't they, rather than food to feed people. God has made the world able to produce enough food for everyone, but we come along and wreck the world. Now, boys and girls, I've got another question for you. We've seen that God is generous. He gives us lots of good gifts. What do you think we should do in response to that? What do you think we should say to God when we realize he's given us so many good things to enjoy? Anyone want to put their hand up and tell me? What do you think? Anyone else? Gregory, what should we say to God, do you think? We should. Well done, Gregory. We should say thank you, shouldn't we? And not just boys and girls, everyone. We read, or Martin read, from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, which says this: always give thanks to God the Father for everything. Now, our lives are hard, aren't they? But they are full of good things as well. And God has given us those things, and so it's good to give thanks. And what about those who don't have enough food? Paul mentioned something about that earlier with the food that we've donated. Again, where we read earlier, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love. We should be people that love as we're loved. So we should be people who, you know, when you go to the supermarket, there's often nowadays a sort of huge basket, isn't there, that says food bank at the end. We should be the sort of people who buy an extra can of baked beans or whatever and put it in the food bank so it goes to people who don't have enough. The other day, I bought myself an extra large mocha from Cafe Nero, and it cost me £3.50. Now, there are a lot of charities that say, just give us £3 a month, and that will go towards helping people in other countries who don't have food. Pretty much, I'm guessing, all of us in the room can afford £3 a month, if not more. We should be the kind of people who love people in other countries that are far away, don't have enough, and give our money to charities that then help provide food. That should be the sort of people we are, if we're Christians. Well, what we're going to do now is we're going to watch a short video clip, okay, from a film called The Miracle Maker. All right. This is an animation about the life of Jesus. It's based on the Gospels. The things in the film are taken from what we read in the Bible. And it's how Jesus went out with some farmers of the sea. And watch the film, the clip, see what happened, and watch carefully because there's some questions that we're going to discuss afterwards. Okay, now, here are some questions. What I want you to do, in your families, or with the person you came with, or just with the person nearest to you, just spend a couple of minutes, pick a question, or work your way through them, whatever you want, and let's discuss these questions through together, and then we'll finish off what I'm going to say. So just do that amongst yourselves for a couple of minutes now. Right, okay, I hope you had a good discussion, just to think about that miracle that Jesus did, the miraculous catch of fish. You see, Jesus did lots of things that we call miracles, which showed that he had power and authority, which none of us possess. And that shows that he is God, not God the Father, not God the Spirit, but God the Son. That's what his miracles point to, who he was. He was God. But his miracles also tell us what God is like. Maybe you've asked that question yourself. I wonder what God is like, really. How do we know? Jesus comes to earth and does these things, and it tells us what he's like. He was so generous to those disciples, those fishermen, wasn't he? They depended on fish for their livelihood. He gave them so many fish, their nets were almost breaking. And many of his miracles gave people so much joy, didn't they? Imagine the paralyzed man. He hadn't been able to move the whole of his life almost. Imagine the expression on his face when Jesus raises him. What joy. Think about those with the lepers, a terrible disease, and Jesus comes along and feels joy into their life. Or think about his first miracle, water into wine. I think that was a clear, he laid down a marker, he planted a flag. Wine in the Bible is symbolic of joy. He said, I've come to give you joy. This is what his first miracle was at a party. He was celebrating with people. That's what God is like. These miracles were announcements that he'd come to give. He'd come to give generously. He'd come to give joy. But Jesus did them for another reason as well. We're going to finish with this now. These miracles were pointing beyond themselves to something greater which he was going to give, which would bring even greater joy than things like food and health and healing. And we'll finish with this. Jesus' greatest gift. Because Jesus' miracles and all the gifts that we thought about, they point to his greatest gift, which satisfies us in the deepest possible way and which rescues us forever. What is that greatest gift? Well, we read it earlier from Ephesians 5. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Jesus gave himself for us as a gift. And he gave himself as a sacrifice to God. Now maybe that seems a bit strange to you. But here's the thing. All of us have done wrong things. I think when we're children, we possibly are more conscious that we do wrong things. But as we grow into adults, we want to cover it up more, make excuses more, and blame other people more. But if we're honest, we all do wrong things. We all disobey God. And God takes wrong things, disobedience, sin, he takes it seriously, really seriously, because he loves justice. And he says that sin has to be punished. He can't just let it go. But Jesus came into the world and said to us loud and clear, look, I love all you people who've done wrong. All you people who've slipped up, who've deliberately sinned, I don't want to see you punished. And so what I'm going to do is give myself for you. And I'll take the punishment you deserve on me. And he did that on the cross. He rescued us. When Jesus was dying on the cross, outwardly he was a bleeding, broken man. Behind the scenes, he was taking the punishment people like us deserve so that we can be rescued and saved from punishment after we die and so that we can be brought into a relationship with God. So that we could have the kind of relationship where we're friends with God. So that we're close to God. So that we're never frightened that he might stop loving us. That kind of relationship. A relationship also that satisfies us fully. You know, we often try to get satisfaction from God's gifts, don't we? And they do satisfy us for a while, don't they? I mean, God's gifts are good. But they were never meant to completely satisfy us. To fully satisfy us. God's gifts are a little bit like when you go to a restaurant and you sit down and you have the starter. You enjoy it, don't you? But it's not designed to satisfy you fully. You're looking forward to the main and the dessert for that, aren't you? The starter kind of points to the main thing. Or if you see on TV a trailer for a film. The trailer is not designed to kind of say, oh, great. You know, it's designed to point you to the cinema or whatever to enjoy the film fully there. And that's like God's gifts. They point us to something greater. They are wonderful, aren't they? Friendship is wonderful. Laughter is good. There's so much good food and so on. But we often misuse God's gifts. We think more about them than God. And we think they can satisfy us fully. And often we end up, you know, wine, for example, is a great gift, isn't it? But we often misuse it. We drink too much of it. We damage ourselves and other people because we look to that one thing to make us happy. But they point us to the one who can give ultimate fulfillment, who can satisfy our deepest needs, and who can take us safely through death and save us from punishment and get us to heaven after we die. So as we finish then, I expect you've enjoyed many of God's good gifts. Boys and girls, I'm expecting you enjoy fun, and we're going to enjoy food later, and you enjoy sport and so on. We all have. But are you enjoying the giver of those gifts? All of us. Are we enjoying the one who provided such good things? Have you accepted Jesus and the loving sacrifice he made for you? How can we accept Jesus? Well, we can turn away from a life lived without a relationship with God, a life that only focuses on the gifts and not the giver. Turn away from that and turn to God and look to Jesus and say, I trust that you died for me when you died on the cross to take my punishment, to bring me into relationship with God. And when we do that, we know that we're forgiven. We know that our punishment has been dealt with. And we can start a loving, satisfying, fulfilling, forever relationship with God. If you haven't done that already, will you? Will you accept the best gift that Jesus has to offer? I hope you will. Do come and chat to me or Paul or Harold afterwards if you've got any questions about how to accept Jesus. But I'm going to hand over to Malcolm now. We're going to finish off.